army no one can destroy. They'll leave a trail of victory till judgment day. Then there comes a warning, calling soldiers to war. But half of them were sleeping, the other half ignored. Why have we come here? What lies in store? Isn't this what we have all been waiting for? Stand and be counted, because one thing I know, we are all soldiers in the revolution of heart and mind and soul. The end of all your worrying, we have all that we need. So stifle all your fear and complacency. Yeah, we walk through the valley and we glow in the shadow of death. We don't march alone, no, and life is too short to rest. Why have we come here? What lies in store? Isn't this what we have all been waiting for? Stand and be counted, there's one thing I know. We are all soldiers in the revolution of heart and mind and soul. Oh, I am convinced that the consequence of your effort is eternity. Paradise remains, but don't be too promise and reality. We are dead, no life nor future, nor men's inhalation. Love means better than separate us from each other. Why have we come here? Isn't this what we have all been waiting for? Stand and be counted, because one thing I know, we are all soldiers in the revolution of heart and mind and soul. Why have we come here?
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Repair the Breach broadcast on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Zach Daniel, the Repair the Breach. And tonight we're going to deal with a subject concerning how Babylonian and Roman cycles came to dominate the modern era of time. And I think it'd be quite interesting for our listeners who listen to this broadcast regularly to kind of follow along. It's very informational. Some information we might have touched on before, but it's incredible information. In fact, we found it off the internet, and I do not have the author's name, but whoever wrote it was pretty dead on point. And but nevertheless, I can see a lot of similarities of revelation and understanding from the scriptures. Whoever this gentleman or female was. Wrote this, and we're going to deal with it tonight. And we're going to talk about how the calendar on your wall is not, I repeat, not the true time. It's a time warp, as we've talked about before. It is definitely way out there concerning true time. It is an illusion. We'll be right back.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Public Broadcasting Network. I'm Zach Daniel, the Repair of the Breach, and we're going to be dealing again with the subject of how Babylonian time and Roman time has come to dominate the modern era. And I think you'll find it very interesting how that the calendar on your wall pretends to say that the Sabbath is Saturday, and that is not the case at all. In fact, in the Roman market week, the Sabbath was not determined by. In fact, the seventh day we call Saturday was not the seventh day at all during that Roman market week, actually. It was indeed the first day of the week, and we've touched on that many times. It was known as Kronos, Saturday, Saturn. And, of course, Sunday was the second day of the week. And when Constantine came to power, you know the story, the so-called he changed time, change the Sabbath, when really he didn't change the Sabbath at all. Maybe changed a false first day, Saturday, to a false seventh day, Saturday, what he did, and then they moved second day, Sunday, pagan second day, Sunday, to a first day, pagan day called Sunday. And so what we've got here is a kind of a dichotomy in the sense that many would say that he changed the Sabbath. Well, no one could change Yahweh's Sabbath, because Yahweh's Sabbath was determined by the moon. Psalms 104:19 clearly says that he appointed the moon for appointments. Well, the first appointment in Leviticus 23, it lists all of Yahweh's appointments, and that is the weekly Sabbath. It's the most frequented. You can't find the seventh day of the week unless you find first the first day of the new moon. And the Sabbath, again, is never a perpetual seven-day cycle. It's never found on a so-called perpetual cycle. But anyhow, let's get into the lesson. And basically, there's three different groups in the Renewed Covenant era from what they call Matthew to Revelation. The three groups are the Romans, the Hebrews, and, of course, the Messiah and his disciples. And through this examination, we will come to get a grasp on how time reckoning evolved from the biblical system into the calendar most of us are on in modern times. As we examine the facts, be prepared for some startling surprises, we start first with the Roman system that evolved into essentially the system we have today. It's known as the Roman Republican calendar. Today they call it the Gregorian calendar. The very earliest calendar used by the Romans was lunar, and it was similar to others it was similar to some of the other calendars in that area and so forth. And although details of that most ancient Roman calendar are obscure, by later Republican times, the Roman calendar is well documented. Certain Roman religious customs, as well as the monthly subdivisions of calends, K-A-L-E-N-D-S, known as and Ides, I-D-E-S, indicate that the calendar was lunar and that months began upon direct observation of the new moon. In the Roman Republican calendar, the months contained three primary markers: the calends, the nones, and the Ides. The calends were always the first day of the month. The nones were usually the fifth, but sometimes the seventh, and the Ides were the 15th, but sometimes the 13th. All the days after the Ides were numbered by counting down towards the next month's calends. Incidentally, this Latin word calends, K-A-L-E-N-D-S, is where our English word calendar comes from. This system was vaguely like the lunar, quote-unquote, weeks we have found in other calendars in the sense of being tied to the moon cycle. The holidays were generally bunched together to form continuous celebrations, and the remaining days of the month were usually nondescript work days. It is in the Roman Republican calendar that we find a recurring cycle distinct from the lunar cycle. This was still not a week such as we know it today, but after a few more centuries, well after the time of the Messiah, eventually evolved into it. This quote-unquote week had a recurring cycle of 8 days called the Nundinae, N-U-N-D-I-N-A-E, which equals 9 days in Latin, nine because of inclusive counting. This was by no means an unchangeable cycle, as our modern seven-day week seems to be. However, this is shown from the fact that it was not always 8 days. At times it was 10, based upon convenience and commerce. The Roman week was not religious in significance, but originally indicated days upon which a market would be held in Rome. It was simply a schedule of when business could be done, and with something like a train or bus schedule might be viewed today. In that sense, it was not viewed strictly as a division of time, as the week is viewed today. Then Roman calendars indicate this interval by giving each consecutive day a letter A, like as an apple, A through H, as in happy. Note that this was simply a space marker for each day. The Romans did not call the individual days day A, day B, or day C, etc., etc. And, of course, the next calendar we'll be dealing with is called the Julian calendar. The Julian calendar was a major modification by Julius Caesar of the Republican calendar. As Pontifex Maximus, Caesar was responsible for the smooth operation of Rome's calendar which previous neglect by other pontifices had allowed to fall behind the seasons in the second year of Caesar's dictatorship, which was in, I guess, 47 BC, I believe. The calendar was running as much as 90 days behind the season, due largely to political manipulation of the calendar. Caesar began his calendar reform by ordering an ordinary leap year. Now, let's just take that thought for a minute as an aside. If there was a so-called perpetual seven-day cycle, and I was having a good conversation with a good friend of mine, actually a new friend of mine, and Ben is listening. Hello, Ben. How are you out there tonight? Great point he made last night that a leap year obviously would throw off a falsely so-called seven-day perpetual cycle because of the fact that you would add, of course, it's a false time zone, folks. They would add a day every, fourth year or every fifth year? Every fourth or fifth year, they call it a leap year, where there's an additional day added to the pagan month of February from 28 days to 29. Of course, the moon cycle is either 29 or 30 days, on average 29.53 and change. The reality is that a month is not 1 through 30, 1 through 31. Okay, that's just a mathematical system of time reckoning that has nothing to do with Yahweh's sun, moon, or stars, or any scriptural reference at all to justify that. In fact, the only way the Sabbath was kept in Scripture was by the moon. The moon regulates, obviously, the month, the weeks, as well as the feasts. The sun regulates the day, as well as the year. And the stars let us know when a day actually begins, when they come out in numerous company, like the book of Nehemiah teaches us. Because when sun goes down, as you know, there's a period of twilight, and then when the stars come out, then you know the lesser lights rule the night. And the evening and the morning were the first day, so evening starts the day. And anyhow, back to our lesson. Just thought that was an aside there. But speaking of the Julian calendar, it was actually running as much as 90 days behind the seasons due largely to political manipulation of the calendar. Caesar began his calendar reform by ordering an ordinary leap year intercalation of one lunar month that was not sufficient to deal with the problem. Therefore, during his second consulship, he inserted 67 days. Exactly how isn't perfectly clear, but probably 2 months between November and December of 22 and 23 days, plus another intercalary month after February. With this fix, by the end of the year, we know as 46 BC, the calendar was pretty much back in sync with the season. As you might imagine, these changes caused a great deal of confusion at the time. And I'm sure many are confused if you don't know this subject well. But if you listen to this, maybe you can go back in the archives and listen to this. I think you'll learn something if you study this out. In fact, later writers called it the Annus Confusionis, or the Year of Confusion. The new Encyclopedia Britannica elaborates, and it states, the origin of the calendric system in general use today, the Gregorian calendar, can be traced back to the Roman Republican calendar, which is thought to have been introduced by the fifth king of Rome, Tarquinius Priscus, 616 to 579 BC. The calendar, by 46 BCE, the calendar had become so hopelessly confused that Julius Caesar was forced to initiate a reform of the entire system. Caesar invited the Alexandrian astronomer Sosthenes to undertake this task. Sosthenes suggested abandoning the lunar system altogether and replacing it with a tropical year of 365 and one quarter days. Further, to correct the accumulation of previous errors, a total of 90 intercalary days had to be added to 46 BC, meaning that January 1, 45 BCE occurred in what would have been the middle of March. prevent the problem from recurring, Sosthenes suggested that an extra day be added to every 4th February. The adoption of such reformatory measures resulted in the establishment of the Julian calendar, which was used for roughly for the next 1,600 years. Thus, the Julian calendar marked a major change from the Lunar Republican calendar, being a solar calendar and the predecessor of the calendar still in use today. It was not until 1582 AD that Pope Gregory the 13th decreed a modification to the Julian calendar, giving us the quote-unquote Gregorian calendar today, which governs modern time, or I should say secular time, better stated, commerce, the modern so-called era. But again, it's still a fraud, a makeshift, not the real source of time. Again, Yahweh uses sun, moon, and stars to give you the true source of time. And the calendar on your wall, January, December, doesn't use the moon. It strictly uses a mathematical count. It has nothing to do whatsoever. It boots the moon out of the equation. That's what Sosthenes basically did. And we'll continue on. It speaks in the new Encyclopedia Britannica, and it explains why that became necessary. During that time, since the initiation of the Julian calendar in 46 BC, however, the disagreement between the Julian year of 365 and a quarter days and the tropical year of 365.242199 gradually produced significant errors. The discrepancy mounted at a rate of 11 minutes, 14 seconds per year until it was a full 10 days in 1545, when the Council of Trent authorized Pope Paul III to take corrective action. No solution was found for many years. And then in 1572, Pope Gregory III agreed to issue a papal bull drawn up by the Jesuit astronomer Christopher Clavius. 10 years later, when the edict was finally proclaimed, 10 days in October were skipped to bring the calendar back in line. Considered as a theoretical calendar, that is, projecting it back before it was actually invented, the Gregorian calendar, which is today's so-called calendar on your wall, folks, the Gregorian calendar matched up with the Julian in the 3rd century, Common Era, because the pre-Julian Roman calendar was not regular. The custom of historians is to use the Julian calendar proleptically for earlier dates, that is, dates before 45 B.C., which are naturally recorded in different calendars, are translated into the Julian calendar. Actual Julian calendars first century. This is another subject we'll touch on. The actual Julian calendar represented here is from the time when the Julian calendar was already well established, although the original calendar of the Roman Republican calendar. Now, folks, I'm going to continue on, but I hope you can get the picture by now. There has been a manipulation of the calendar system, and what we need to understand is that Yahweh's time is not man's time. And what we have to realize is that if we're going to please Yahweh, we need to go back to his system of time, which is the sun, moon, and stars. Not just solar only, not lunar only either, but solar, lunar, and of course the stars. Now, you might say, Zach, how do we do that today in a so-called modern-day era where everything's more gadget-prone and so forth? Well, if you have a sincere heart and you want to know the truth of his word, it won't be that hard, because it'll be harder without him. It'll be harder to serve Yahweh and his ways. Now, he will teach us his ways if we're sincere. Now, the scripture says in the book of Revelation that it was those who had the commandments and the name of the Father Yahweh in their foreheads that had a right to the tree of life, as well as in Revelation 22. So if we keep his commandments, we will be blessed. And one of the commandments was to remember the Shabbat. Now, when you look at the word remember, it has to do with time. It's the only commandment of the Ten Commandments that had to do with time. And so how do we find the Sabbath? For the technical glitch there. It was my side there. Manny, my producer there in the Round Rock Studios of RBN, doing a great job keeping us abreast here of the situation. Again, that was my problem there of the connection I had, but I do appreciate the patience. And we will get back here into the lesson about how Roman and Babylonian cycles came to dominate modern day time reckoning, timekeeping. Even though it's not the true source of time, Yahweh told us that they would think to change, not that they could, but that they would think to change days or times, days and years. And, of course, they changed the week. Did you know the weeks, again, were regulated by the moon? And yet the calendar on a wall doesn't use the moon. Now, why is that significant? In the moon, when the full new moon rises, and for those that want to know the Sabbath, the true scriptural Sabbath, for this moon, what the pagans are going to call June, the next two Thursday evening to Friday evenings will be the 22nd and 29th, respectively, of the fourth moon, even though they call it the sixth month of June. But the Sabbath will occur on those days for those that want to be observing the true Shabbat of Scripture. So when we get to the real issue of time reckoning, the people of Yahweh kept the Sabbath by the moon. Did you know even old Jewish encyclopedias even say that? I mean, you can go to older Jewish encyclopedias, and it states openly that the patriarchs like Abraham and Moses, they all kept the Shabbat by the moon. Think about that. But go figure. You've got the modern-day Jews who don't keep the Sabbath by the moon, with all due respect, of course. What I'm trying to say is, Judaism is not keeping the true Shabbat, and yet they claim to keep Saturday as the Sabbath. And I'm not trying to be facetious or sacrilegious, but the Jews don't believe in the Messiah. They don't believe he's come in the flesh, with all due respect. Now, many will come in the latter days, and we praise Yahweh for that. But the reality is that until you confess that the Almighty Yahweh, the Messiah of Nazareth, come in the flesh, they can't be a part of the true Israel scripture, you see. Even though they call themselves Jews but are not but of the synagogue of Satan, due to the fact that they reject Yahweh's judgments, testimonies, and statutes because they keep a false pagan Talmudic Kabbalah, which is total mysticism and a flat-out deception. And it's a lie. And so we need to keep Yahweh's Shabbat by the moon, keep the Torah, the Brit Kah, the Shah, the Renewed Covenant, all the books from Revelation, Genesis to Revelation, and of course there's many more like Jubilees and Enoch. Listen to the Breach broadcast. I'm Zach Daniel. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Network tuned to the Repair of the Breach broadcast. I'm Zach Daniel, the Repair of the Breach, and of course, Manny, my flying producer there in the Round Rock Studios of RBN. And we're talking about how basically the Roman and Babylonian time cycles came to dominate the modern era today of time reckoning or timekeeping. The calendar on your wall again from January to December is a calendar named after Pope Gregory. It's Gregorian. It's called the Gregorian calendar, and we touched on a little bit how the Julian calendar was named after Julius Caesar. And before the break, we were touching on how that those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan, keep a false book called the Talmud or a Kabbalah, and they try to assert the Torah, where the Torah teaches that, and of course the Brit Hadashah as well, Torah being the first five books of your Bible, part of the Tanakh. The Tanakh was Genesis to Malachi, and the Brit Hadashah is another term for the Renewed Covenant, what many call more erroneously the New Testament. It's really the Renewed Covenant, but you can find that the Messiah kept the Sabbath by the moon. just like the apostles did, just like all the patriarchs did. And but the calendar, of course, today doesn't use the moon, but it gives you a faulty opinion of when a new moon begins. They're trying to tell you that a new moon is a dark moon, when really they're trying to throw you off by saying that the full moon is in the middle of the moon, or mid-month. That's what how you get the word month, is from the word moon. When they say the full moon's at mid-moon, yeah, that's a lie. You can tell right away just off the cuff. But the true essence of time, Yahweh inhabits eternity, but we are creatures of time, and so the true essence of time for us to really get back in sync with the Creator, Yahweh, is to go back to using the sun, moon, and stars correctly. I don't promote an all-solar calendar. I don't promote an all-lunar calendar. I promote, the Scriptures promote and teach, that the true time-reckoning devices were the sun, moon, and stars, all three together, working together in sync. Again, the moon regulates the week. The seven-day so-called perpetual cycle has nothing to do with the Scripture. That's a man-made invention. Okay? When the new moon rises, when what the pagan calendar calls, June 30th, coming up, it'll be the fifth moon. They're going to call it the end of the sixth moon, almost the seventh moon. Actually, June 29th to June 30th will be what they call in the pagan calendar, June 29th, June 30th, Friday evening to Saturday evening. That will be the new moon day for the fifth moon. And the reason why I bring that up is because when the full new moon rises on that day, what they call June 29th, coming up next couple weeks or so, what day is it going to be? Now, for those that say Friday evening and Saturday evening, with all due respect, is the, you know, when they say it's the Sabbath, well, then what day really is it? Is it the weekly Sabbath, or is it the day of the new moon? Because when the new full moon rises on what they call June 29th coming up, what they call Friday night, so the new full moon day will be from Friday evening to Saturday. It can't be the weekly Sabbath, folks. It's Friday, Saturday, perpetual seven-day cycle. You know, Sunday through Saturday. That's just not the seven-day cycle of Scripture. The seven-day cycle, or the week, the weeks were determined by the moon. Again, like I said, the moon regulates the weeks. It obviously regulates the moon itself, right? It regulates the day of the new moon, of course, when the new full moon is the most yellowest and plumpest. And, of course, it regulates all of the appointments, special feasts, all the Sabbaths, and, of course, all the new moon days. And all the festivals, Tabernacle, Atonement, and Feast of Trumpets, all founded and listed for you and I in Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 is a very informative chapter. It mentions the feasts of Yahweh are these. And the first feast is the weekly Sabbath. And then, of course, Passover, and it mentions unleavened bread and first fruits and Shavuot, or numbering, counting seven Sabbaths, and then numbering 50 days to get to Pentecost. And by the way, we're on day number 40 now. We've got 10 more days to the day of Pentecost for those that want to keep the day of Pentecost. It'll be on what the pagan calendar says, Wednesday evening to Thursday evening. The 27th of June. It'll be the day of Pentecost, the true day of Pentecost, the 27th through the 28th. It'll be the 28th day of the fourth moon. That'll be the day of Pentecost. Again, the 27th, 28th of June will be the actual feast of Pentecost in Scripture. The renewed covenant believers in the book of Acts, we're celebrating. They're observing the Feast of Pentecost. Isn't it kind of astounding how you have many believers, they call them, you know, believers in the Messiah, and I praise Yahweh for that. You confess Yahweh's come in the flesh, but you got to confess his name. His name, again, wasn't Jesus or Jesus or Jesus or Jesus. But you got many Pentecostals, even those who say that they're the people of the name, with all due respect, don't have the name at all. They actually have another name. They have a name that was given to them not by divine inspiration, but by abomination, with all due respect. Again, the Scriptures teach that the Father's name is Yahweh, Y-H-W-H, Yod, Hey, Wah, Hey. It was in there originally over 7,000 times. And, of course, the monks monkeyed around with the manuscripts up in the monasteries, and they took the name of Yahweh out and put the pagan name or title or name, both kind of interchangeable, pagan name called Baal, which is our modern-day Lord. The term Lord is Baal. And Yahweh says, you You're no longer going to call me Baal. You're no longer going to call me Bailey. Read Hosea 2:16 through 18. He promises that you're no longer going to call me that in the last days. And so Yahweh's taking the Baalistic terms out of our mouth that we referred to him as. He wants us to refer to him by name. Yahweh. That's why it's Hallelujah, not Hallelujah God. That's why it's Hallelujah, not Hallelujah Jesus. Why it's Hallelujah, as you've heard this before many times, I'm sure. Why it's Hallelujah, not Hallelujah Jehovah. You know, so that's why the prophets were named Nehemiah, Jeremiah, Obadiah, Hezekiah. They were all prophets of Yahweh. They weren't prophets of Jesus or Jehovah. Those are false pagan names that have been attributed to the Creator. That people say, well, I'm just referring to him, and he knows my heart. Well, yeah, he knows your heart, knows my heart. And 17:9 of Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't even know our own heart unless Yahweh will reveal it to us through genuine contrition and brokenness. Let me get to more of the study here, because I really want to get this out over the air here. We got to get back to this understanding that the Romans had no seven-day week in the time of the Messiah, Yahweh. Keep that in mind, folks. The Romans, who were the rulers of that era, Roman Empire, the Romans had no seven-day week in the time of the Messiah, Yahweh, and his apostles. Any reference to a, quote-unquote, week in the Renewed Covenant or New Testament is not a reference to the same cycle known today as a week. Okay? The seven-day Roman planetary week was originally an eight-day market cycle of the Republican calendar, and represented letters A through H. And the seven-day Roman planetary week was a seven-day cycle named after the planets, you know, Jupiter, Mars, Mercury, Venus, Pluto, et cetera, et cetera. And they had not yet evolved and is nowhere to be found on this first Julian calendar in the first century. It wasn't there yet. And basically, as you study this out, the seven-day planetary week was a later innovation initially unrelated to market weeks. Now, again, let me repeat this again. During the time when the Romans were in power, during the time of the Messiah and his apostles, there is no reference in the New Testament, I should say like this, any reference to a quote-unquote week in the New Testament is not a reference to the same cycle known today as a week. That's what we need to keep that in mind. The seven-day cycle known today as a week was completely unknown to the Romans of the New Testament, or the New Covenant, during that time, having not yet even been invented by them yet. Now, a seven-day planetary week, you know, what they call Sunday through Saturday, Sunday, sun worshippers, Saturday, Saturn worshippers, Saturnalia, or Satan, that day, with all due respect, was dedicated to Saturn in Isaiah 13, 5:26 of Amos as well. And then, of course, Monday was for moon worshippers, Tuesday was for Mars worshippers, planet Mars, 2-E-T-I-U. And, of course, Wednesday was for Woden's Day, also known as Mercury for that planet. Thursday was Thor's Day, or Thor, and also for the planet Jupiter, Thursday, pagan Thursday. And, of course, Friday was Frigga, or Freya, which is how you get the fish fry. It was also the pagan moon called, not moon, but the pagan name Venus for the planet Venus. Remember, Yahweh said, because they received not the love of the truth, he would send them a strong illusion, and believe that they would believe a lie and be damned, and that they would, he would give them up to worship the hosts of heaven. Well, that's indeed the case, because the whole calendar is dedicated to that. People want to follow astrology, and all this is garbage and nonsense and utter, with all due respect, an abomination. So the seven-day cycle, or the so-called planetary week, emerged after the New Testament, what we call today Sunday through Saturday. Saturday was day number one, Kronos originally, and the eight-day market week, Sunday was actually day number two. That's why you got Muslims thinking that the Sabbath is Thursday evening to Friday, because at one time that was the seventh day of the week of a pagan false counterfeit alternative system of time that had nothing to do with the true essence of the Shabbat at all. And that's why they keep it, because on that false system of times, it used to be the seventh day of the week. Whereas today, the false system of time of Saturday being the seventh day of the week is just as erroneous, as well as Sunday
never being the 17th week at all, was the day number two. Constantine loved it enough. He said, I'm going to bump day one, Kronos, Saturday. Saturn was Kronos in Greek mythology, first in time, first in line. That's why Saturday used to be the first day of the week in history, folks. And this is a fact. People say Saturday was always the first day or always the seventh day. They never got it wrong. The Jews never had it wrong. Well, hold on a minute. Seventh-day Adventists never got it wrong. The Jews never got it wrong. Hold on a minute. It was never the seventh day of the week, according to Scripture. It might be a seventh day of the week on your calendar, but it's not the true week of Scripture. And I don't want to, you know, belabor the point or be redundant, but let's continue on. The seventh-day week, as we know it today, eventually arose among the Romans from a pagan religious superstition. Of course, the seventh-day planetary week emerged after the New Testament period. We stated it was based on the ancient astrological notion that the gods, the pagan deities of the seven known celestial bodies, planets, influence what happens on Earth, and that each of these celestial deities, so-called, controls the first hour of the day named after it. This system was brought into Hellenistic Egypt from Mesopotamia, specifically Babylon, where astrology had been practiced for millenniums, and where seven had always been a propitious number, or quote-unquote lucky seven, get that term. This pagan idea developed into a scheme among the Romans where certain days became connected with each of the seven planetary so-called deity, or G-O-D-S. A connection of each day with one of the seven planetary G-O-D began to spread through the Roman Empire around the turn of the first century. The earliest evidence of the beginning of the development of the planetary week was found at Pompeii, the amazing, of course, Roman city destroyed by a volcanic eruption during the first quarter or the final quarter of the first century. A wall inscription with the heading, quote, Days of the G.O.D.s, lists the planets in the order. Saturn, that's the Kronos right there, first in time. Then the next one was Sun. Then the next day was Moon. And the next day was named Mars. And then the next day was named after Mercury. The next day was named after Jupiter. And the next day was after Venus. That's what was on the inscription on Pompeii. The original order of the planetary week, starting with Saturn's day, varies from the week, eventually written into Roman law in the 4th century, which features the Sun's day as the first day of the planetary week. Of course, these are all abominable in the first place, but just for the sake of learning, bear with me here. We should stress again that this innovation of a seven-day planetary week did not arise in the Roman Empire during the time of Messiah and the apostles. And it was after the writing of most, if not all, of the New Testament books, or the New Covenant books, since the earliest evidence for the existence of the planetary week is to be dated toward the end of the first century A.D. And that was a quote from W.D. Rohrdorf, R-O-R-D-O-R-F. Even then, the religious planetary seven-day cycle did not have the force of time reckoning later associated with it. It would later take over a century more for the ceremonial planetary week to evolve into the institution of a continual seven-day weekly cycle used in dates. The earliest known instance of this is from 205 A.D. in an inscription from Carlsberg, Transylvania, while the earliest case from the Eastern Empire is a school lesson from Egypt dated 294 C.E. Constantine, folks, enforced Roman Babylonian time at the late date of 321 A.D. So this is way after the New Testament first century period. In 321 A.D., the Emperor Constantine the Great permanently grafted the astrological planetary week system onto the Roman calendar, making the first day of this new week the day of the sun, S-U-N, and a day of rest and worship for all, and imposing the sequence and names of the days of the planetary week as we know them today. With this official edict, the market week and the planetary week were finally permanently fused into one continuous seven-day cycle named after the G-O-D-S, or pagan deities, by edict of the Emperor Roman Babylonius time was suddenly transformed into quote-unquote Christian time. While there were holdouts for a while, the new Roman system of time was adopted throughout most of Western Europe. In the Germanic languages, such as Old English, the names of four of the Roman deities, pagan deities, were converted into those of the corresponding Germanic deity, pagan deity. Now, folks, the pagan week that we have today, Saturday or Sunday through Saturday, the this pagan week, the day names tell the whole story, folks. All of this should be sufficient to demonstrate that the week we are so familiar with today originated as an amalgamation of paganism and commercialism and was not in any sense given to us by Yahweh, the Creator, the Almighty, my Messiah. In fact, the pagan origin of the planetary is still to be seen in the names of the week, days of the week in use today. For instance, the planetary pagan deity, G-O-D, Latin, Germanic, G-O-D, modern, English, modern, Italian, sun, solus, Sunday, Dominicia, moon. Sun was for sol. In Latin, the sun was solus. Sunday was Dominicia. Moon was lunae. Monday was lunidi, for moon. Mars was Martis. Tio was for Tuesday or Marketi. And then you got Mercury. Mercury and Woden. Woden's day, Wednesday. Jupiter, Jovis, Jovis, paper. We'll probably take the rest of this after the break. You're listening to the Repair of the Breach broadcast on RBN, Republic Broadcasting. .org. I'm Zach Daniel, Repair the Breach, breachmender at yahoo.com. You got questions or comments?
World War III, rising fuel prices, financial collapse, trucker strike, North American Union. Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at Stoves and moreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
On the Repair the Breach podcast, I'm Zach Daniel, and we definitely got to keep away from books that blaspheme Yah. It was a great lyric there by fine band Poker Face. bookofeddie.com. And books that blaspheme Yah would be the Talmud. Got to stay away from that. It's garbage. I got to stay away from the Kabbalah. It's also books that blaspheme Yah. Yahweh's name in the short poetic form is Yah. Again, like we said earlier, hallelujah. But we're trying to bring across some information tonight. How Babylonian times and Roman time began to dominate time reckoning, and how that it has nothing to do with scripture whatsoever. And we talked about, for instance, the days of the week, like each day of the week. Like, for instance, Thursday was named really after Jupiter or Jophis. And when they say by Jove, ever heard that expression? When they say by G-O-D, you know, by Jove. It's really a pagan deity. Named after Jupiter. Jupiter in Latin is known, was a pagan deity, sky deity, sun deity as well. And the Greeks called him Zeus, though. But no wonder they call him Jesus, because they're trying to make him a sun deity. That's why they want to make the Messiah a corruptible man, which he was not. He was not a corruptible man that was born biologically and known as a son. Okay, whether it be S-O-N or S-U-N, it's still a pagan. Goes back to pagan roots to making him a human being, when no human being can redeem them. Read Psalm 49. No human sacrifice was condoned. It was condemned by Yahweh, and he wasn't going to break his commandments and say, okay, now I'm going to change it. And when he said he couldn't change, and here I'm going to send somebody else. No, he sent himself, sent his own word, and healed them. The word became flesh, John 1:14. And so he wasn't corruptible flesh. He was holy, pure, without spot or wrinkle. We weren't redeemed by corruptible things. Mary was just the first surrogate mother. He came through her, just not from her. And she was just a pipe, and the pipe does not create or procreate water, does it? No, of course not. So he flowed through the pipe. She was just a vessel, but that was about it. There was no such thing as immaculate conception. He just didn't take any of her DNA. Mary is just a chosen vessel, is all. She didn't ask all this to be thrown on her. She's just one of the children of Israel. She is, but anyhow, we can finish here. We got about a minute or two before the broadcast ends. And but this pagan week that we call it Saturday or Sunday through Saturday has no bearing at all in Scripture. It wasn't even invented until 324 or so A.D. around Constantine's time. And so you got Friday was actually dedicated to Venus, also Freya, Fish Fry, Saturn with Saturnalia. Saturni, Saturday in Latin. Also, they say it's Sabato. So they try to equate. Latin means mystery and hidden, by the way. And so in Latin, they try to say that the Sabbath was Saturday. They would say Saturn or Saturday. In Latin or in Italian, they say Sabato. Like Sabatine, right? Or Sabato. So they try to equate the Sabbath with the day of Saturn, which is a lie, because in Amos 5:26, it was warned that they would worship the Chiun, C-H-I-U-N, and Remphan, their star deity, as the pagan weekly Sabbath. You've tuned to the Repair of the Breach broadcast. I'm Zach Daniel. Thanks for listening. And shoot us an email, Repair the Breach, or breachmender@yahoo.com. And again, the pagan planetary week has no correlation to the biblical time. And we'll hopefully maybe talk a little bit more about this next week and finish it. Get a little bit more. Maybe I got to take 2 weeks to do this. We'll be right back next week, y'all willing. Shalom, and y'all bless you. BreachMender@yahoo.com. Thanks to Manny back there in the studio doing a great job. And support the network. And again, support RBN, publicbroadcasting.org. I'm Zach Daniel. I'm signing off. Shalom. Thank you.